When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
Yeah, who cried in Hereditary. I actually couldn't stop thinking of that scene.
I can't either.
Every time I saw him.
And he's a perfectly fine actor.
No, he's a great actor. I just think they could have done another take on that Hereditary.
I agree.
Welcome to Sincast, presented by CinemaSins.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Sincast. This is Chris Atkinson from CinemaSins, joined by Jonathan Watkins from All the Things.
Hello, hello.
And today we're going to be doing a mini pod.
Jumanji pod.
Yeah, sure. Jumanji, the next level. The sequel to, I guess, was a surprise hit from a couple years ago.
Yeah, I mean, from what I remember, I mean, they were obviously intending this. They were hoping this would be a franchise. I mean, I know they, because, I mean, obviously, as quickly as this was made, they had to have some stuff, you know, in motion. But I definitely don't think they thought it was going to be the hit it was. I mean, it made almost $400 million domestically.
It came out right after Last Jedi did, and it was a weird placement, because a movie like that, you want to have a broad audience and everybody's watching Star Wars. They sort of effectively became counter programming and just killed it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you figure, you know, Last Jedi sold out showings, people taking their family, they'll go see Jumanji instead, and it really worked in their favor. I was reading last night, actually, it was 12 weeks in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that this one's going to do quite that,
yeah,
box office wise, but I don't think they're going to be hurting at the end of the day. I think it's going to do just fine.
I resisted the first one for a while.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it until it was, because Aaron invited me out to that Critics' Choice Awards thing.
Mm-hmm.
That was late January, I believe, of 2018.
Yep.
And so I flew into LA one morning. It was like an ungodly early morning.
Yeah.
And went to my hotel, and my hotel didn't have wasn't ready for me. And they didn't have my room ready for me.
Yeah.
Because it was like not, it was like 9 a.m. or something.
Yeah, been there.
So maybe it was 9 or maybe it was closer to 10, but I was like, well, I guess I'll wander around, and I found this theater close by that was playing Jumanji at like 10:30.
Yeah.
And that's how I wasted time.
That's so
of course
funny.
I bought the ticket. As soon as I bought the ticket, they were like, "We have your room ready." and I watched it, and I very much enjoyed that first one. I thought that was really good.
Yeah, I took my daughter to see it, and I mean, we didn't wait that long, but I'm pretty sure it was a couple weeks after it came out. Like, we didn't go see it immediately. And I remember being really surprised, like, we were talking about how well it did. I mean, this was like 2 weeks later, probably like a Thursday afternoon. I mean, this is during Christmas break, so there's a lot of people out, but still. And the theater was just packed.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just so many people there. And even 2 weeks later, so I was like, oh, this is doing well. But I think that's it. I don't know that people necessarily loved it, but I think it was just such a pleasant surprise that, like, it was almost one of those things where, like, this doesn't suck.
Yeah, yeah.
This is fun. The cast is, you know, it's a good cast. They're having fun together. The Rock seemed to kind of get out of his own way, which is sometimes an issue with him in mm-hmm. some of his movies,
yep.
and let other people, you know, share the screen with him, mm-hmm. I guess. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so it was just kind of fun. You know, it was a good time.
So now we advance a year later on this one. I think it's a year.
Yeah. I get the impression they were finishing out, I guess, their senior year in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And then, mm-hmm. I can't remember if the first one was set around Christmas too. It might've
been. I don't know, but we know that the so-called, I mean, he's not really the main character, but the Alex Wolff guy who's Spencer.
Yeah, who cried in Hereditary, yes.
Yeah, who cried in Hereditary. I actually couldn't stop thinking of that scene.
I can't either.
Every time I saw him.
And he's a perfectly fine actor.
No, he's a great actor. I just think they could have done another take on that Hereditary.
I agree.
Yeah, he's in college. He's at NYU, and he's in meantime he's like working at some like it's not a Walgreens, but it's like some
like a CVS. Or
yeah,
something.
One of these type of places. And his boss is really pissed off about that toothpaste, man. He really get done with your toothpaste, man.
This started off a little rough.
Yeah, it did. In fact, the first 10-15 minutes are awful.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely felt like they didn't really know how to get these characters back into this world. It was odd.
Yeah, so
I mean, because we don't even know, like, let's start off with him. Like, he's supposed to be, like, miserable.
Yeah.
And we don't really know why, other than, you know, he's working at that job and his suitcase breaks and it rains on him. It's just stuff like that.
And he broke up with Martha from the first movie, or they've got a break going, yeah. or something. And the other two, and I don't know all the names of these people, but you had Fridge is one, and who's the other girl?
Oh, it's Bethany.
Bethany. They all still mass text each other and stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're like sort of getting together, and everybody realizes they haven't talked to Spencer in a while.
Yeah, yeah. They're all coming. I guess they all went to college elsewhere,
mm-hmm.
and they're coming back for Christmas break or the holidays, and they're going to meet up for brunch.
Yeah, they said, well, we haven't talked to Spencer in a while. Let's go over to his house.
Yeah.
Spencer, who is, you know, in this, you know, this horrible state in his life, decides, I'm gonna fire this Jumanji game up again. And he goes inside Jumanji again.
Yeah, they like you're saying, this first like 10 or 15 minutes, I mean, they're yada yadaing a lot.
Well, yeah, now I don't remember how they ended that first one, but some of the characters in this were like, how did he get it back?
Yeah, cuz they were in the first one, they were at the school because
yes.
they were cleaning up. They were as like a detention kind
right.
of situation. So, I guess he went back to the school and
yeah.
got it. And I couldn't remember. I guess they broke it. Like, I couldn't even remember that part.
Yeah, that was the thing.
Because it's broken.
They seemed to be surprised that it even existed.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't remember if they were supposedly destroyed it or what. But he's gone inside. They go down there into the basement after they can't find him. And like, oh, he did this. Now, meanwhile, the movie is introduced two new
yeah.
characters. Danny DeVito plays his grandfather, plays
yeah.
Spencer's grandfather.
Yeah.
Danny Glover plays the guy who used to be partners with Danny DeVito of a restaurant.
Yeah, I actually thought, from the way the previews made it out to be, I thought they were a couple.
Well, I in a way they are.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
that's
maybe
true.
It. I mean, where, you know, there's a lot of interpretations you can throw in there, but they do act like an old married couple.
They do,
and everything.
For sure, yeah.
But by the, well, that's spoilery. Danny Glover has come by, and apparently it's been 15 years since they've seen each other. They had a falling out over this restaurant and everything. This is the most yada yada moment, though, is when they turn on Jumanji downstairs and two of the kids go.
Yeah.
And then Danny DeVito and Danny Glover, who aren't even in the basement.
No, they kind of show the green stuff or whatever. It's going up the stairs, but it's still, it's ridiculous.
It skips Bethany.
Yeah.
And it takes those two guys for some reason. We'll never know. And then Bethany, like, goes off and gets Colin Hanks.
Yeah,
who
was in the first one. He was the Nick Jonas, was his avatar.
Yeah. I don't know. So that immediately put me in this hole. Like, first off, they didn't get to choose their characters. Although the movie has some things in there where, and maybe that's spoilery too, but,
I mean, there is some stuff in the preview. Like, you see in the preview that, like, Fridge ends up in Jack Black's body,
mm-hmm.
and then you eventually see that Bethany finds her way back there.
It just doesn't. They didn't get to choose their characters.
Yeah.
And then I don't understand how Bethany gets Colin Hanks back, and Colin Hanks just happens to be able to get to be Nick Jonas again. And
yeah.
Bethany, and Bethany's a horse. And
which that's in the trailer as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're
but
good.
I didn't know how they were able to choose their own whatever. But anyway, they're going to look for Spencer, and they find out that Spencer is another character in the game.
Yeah, because once they get there, they think it's The Rock, but then the Bravestone, is that his name?
Yeah, Bravestone.
But that ends up being Danny DeVito, and then Danny Glover ends up being in Kevin Hart's body.
Yes, and this is where Kevin Hart gets to shine because
this might be my favorite Kevin Hart performance.
It absolutely is. Once he's doing Danny Glover, he's in that character.
And The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, to be fair, does a very good job. I mean, he definitely finds it that, but his gets a little annoying at times.
I always thought DeVito was he's Italian.
Yeah.
But they make him sound like Jewish or something.
Yeah, they do. Like, it's like an old ornery, like, Jewish grandfather.
Yeah, yeah. and I know DeVito's got a weird kind of, like, very, very distinct voice and everything.
There's a great bit, though, once they get there. Martha is back in the, is it Karen Gillan?
Yeah.
Is it Gillan? Is that right?
Karen Gillan.
Karen Gillan, I will say, also gets to shine in this movie. Mm-hmm. I think a little more than she does in the original. And it's good. Like, mm-hmm. she's really good in this. But I do love the bit right at the beginning when they get there. And obviously, DeVito and Glover's characters don't understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But they do that whole, like, annoying thing. Where, like, sometimes, and you have this, everybody has this with their grandparents or even their parents if their parents are older, where you have to explain something to them, like, five times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they kept doing the, like, so, like, what's Jumanji? You know, stuff like mm-hmm. that. And that was really funny for a bit. They kind of... that gets old after a while.
Yeah,
but Hart and Johnson are having a lot of fun, and I think Hart does a better job. I am curious what you thought about Jack Black.
Yeah, this is a weird thing, right? So we're in this age now where we're kind of in this oversensitivity type of thing.
Yeah.
And so Jack Black, by necessity almost, has to do a Fridge impersonation.
Yeah.
So it's it's a white guy doing a black voice.
Yeah, which isn't bad, but what and I don't know if this is because he's in the movie, but what it sounded like to me was he was essentially doing Robert Downey Jr. impression from Tropic Thunder, which Jack Black's in Tropic Thunder with him. So that might not be that coincidental.
Yeah.
But it wasn't quite that extreme.
No.
He's not doing the method actor thing.
He's definitely
just
trying to act as much like Fridge does.
Yeah,
in
exactly.
This
and he's funny.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
In fact, I even kind of found him, even though I actually liked him in the first one because he was the Bethany character, and he eventually gets there here, as we said, they show in the trailer. But I thought he did a really good job there. There's that great moment in the first one where he has to pee,
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's like, I've been curious about this all day.
Also,
that's a really odd moment to have your, at that time, 6-year-old daughter sitting right next to you. Like, why is everybody laughing? I have no idea. So you get, it's kind of similar moments like that, but now he's Fridge instead of, and they play up a lot about how the Jack Black character doesn't even make any sense why he's in the game,
because
he just has so many weaknesses.
Well, they drop him down in the desert, and all of his weaknesses are sun, sand, and like,
which I love how he played that moment though. He's like, sun, sand, and I can't remember what the other thing is, or heat.
Maybe it's just heat.
Yeah. And then he's like, that should be okay. Yeah. He's like standing in the middle of the desert.
Yeah. I guess before we get too far into spoilers, I thought this was enjoyable in spots. I thought the game that they played was less defined than the first one. The first one, it just seemed like, they have to get the stone, they have to put the stone in the thing, and that's
yeah,
how.
Yeah.
This one is a weird game. Like, it just doesn't, a lot of the stuff that they have to do in this, I was like, is this what you would really do in a video game?
Yeah.
And it didn't feel like it.
And it's the same game, right? That's the other thing. I mean, I guess they say the next level, so I guess this is supposed to be like level 2.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I agree with you.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like a very, it's more RPG than like an action game. But it's a weird game, and there are a lot of things I have a lot of questions about it. I'll go ahead and get into the grading, because we do want to get into spoilers here. On the strength of like the Kevin Hart performance in this, and there's some other mildly enjoyable things, I would say he elevates this to a B- or a C+. It's somewhere in there for me. I think the first 10-15 minutes are some of the just slipshod. I don't know what's going on there. There's a lot of weird cutaways. Yeah. There's a lot of just no explanation going on.
Yeah.
It's just like, let's just get back into this game.
Well, and there are things that get answered later, but they're not really that interesting.
No.
Like, and you kind of even forgot about them. Like, you even forgot that was a thing, mm-hmm. you know. I had a lot of fun. I think I had a little more fun with this than you did. I'm actually going to give it a B.
Okay.
I have issues with it, and I think it is a little, like you said, slipshod, especially at the beginning. But I do think it was kind of one of those things where they were like, we got to get back in the game as quickly as possible, because that's what people want to see. They still could have done a better job than they did. I mean, I don't need like some deep backstory, but like, I don't know. These characters worked in the first one perfectly fine. I mean, you could have done something similar to the opening of the first one here. I mean, not the same thing, but I'm saying you were able to do this in the last one, so I don't know why you couldn't do something here that mm-hmm. worked just as well. One of my problems with Welcome to the Jungle, the last, which I guess this is technically the third movie in the Jumanji franchise,
mm-hmm.
One problem I had with Welcome to the Jungle was the villain.
Mm-hmm.
But Bobby Cannavale from that movie is awesome compared to the villain in this one. Like,
yeah.
I mean, the villain's almost such a non-essential character, and I guess that's fine. And honestly, I'm sure there's a lot of, like, this seems like a really shitty video game.
Yeah, this is Rory McCann, who's from Game of Thrones,
who I really like.
Yeah.
But he's just so underused in this, and is just, I don't know, he's just not that interesting.
Yeah, pretty much worthless.
And then they make such a big, but then they still have to have, like, a final moment with the villain, but you just don't care about him.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of takes away from, even though that's one of the better action scenes. And that's another thing, like you were talking, and this might tie into what you were talking about. The actual, everything I liked in this was character based,
mm-hmm.
because the action scenes are okay at best. There was not a single sequence in this where I was just blown away. The stuff with like the bridges, that was kind of fun. But I don't know. But at the same time, too, it's just like there's one scene where there's like a ton of CG ostriches coming after them. There's one scene where there's CG monkeys.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bunch of nonsense just coming at them, and I can't exactly figure out how they're getting out of it.
Yeah.
Especially because, like the first one, there becomes pretty big stakes with their remaining lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually, well, I guess we'll get into that in spoilers. But I'm just going to give it a B. But I think, like you, it's almost all characters. And a lot of it's Kevin Hart. I think Karen Gillan's really good. I think Jack Black's really good, too.
And I don't know if it's spoilery or not, but screw you guys if it is. Aquafina is in this, too.
Yes, and she's good.
And she's really good.
Yeah.
I thought the other acting that was good, really good in this, that's along with Kevin Hart, was Aquafina.
I agree. I had no idea she was in it either, and mm-hmm. So that was a nice surprise. I was like, oh, hey, it's Aquafina.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
It's decent. I don't know if we're saying just rush out and go see it or anything, but
no, I mean, I think it's definitely like it's kid friendly. I think it, for the most part, it's, you definitely don't have a scene like the penis scene in the first one. I think this would be a fun holiday movie to take your family to, especially like if Skywalker sold out or something, you could do a lot worse than this.
Yeah.
I had a good time with it. So.
All right, let's get on to spoilers.
No spoilers!
Kevin Spacey is Kaiser Sose.
Luke's what? Father is actually Darth
He's
Vader. What? She's the sister and the daughter.
What?
They just
No. I'm reading the books.
Yeah, I'm probably going to go all over the place on this one, but one of the big things that I thought was weird is towards the end, you have Danny Glover is in the horse, the flying horse at the end of this.
Yeah, we kind of mentioned that. A horse shows up with Nick Jonas.
Right.
About halfway through.
And Danny DeVito is playing, who is he?
Aquafina.
He's in Aquafina at that point.
And she actually does a better job than Dwayne Johnson.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Aquafina does the Danny DeVito a lot better than, but even she.
They're still doing the Jewish grandfather.
Doing that Jewish grandfather thing. But like, okay, so at the end they fly up into this area with this stone, this gem or whatever, and it's supposed to fly into the sun or hit the sun or something, and then they're supposed to say Jumanji and everything. So as soon as that happened in this movie, I was like, well, thank God Bethany went to go get Colin Hanks.
Yeah.
And she just happened to bring the flying horse with her because I don't know how they were supposed to get that gem up into the sun without him. And
yeah, no, you're right.
Like, like, remember also, this is a video game. So like the Rhys Darby character, who's like the non-player character or whatever.
Yeah. Nigel or whatever.
Yeah, I think it's Nigel is his name. He comes in and explains all the rules to the four players. And he never once says you're going to need something to fly up into.
No,
that's
a good point.
You know, so I thought that was just really strange. I've already mentioned that it's strange. First off, it's strange, I guess, that Spencer goes in and then just happens to be the Aquafina character. I guess he didn't have any choice.
Yeah.
Because it's just electricity and static.
Yeah, I got the impression that he got sucked in the same way they did, because they didn't actually start the video game. They just touched the controller and like they got shocked and then they got sent in.
Which is why I don't understand why Colin Hanks gets to be Nick Jonas again and why all the other characters that got sucked into the game just happened to be The Rock and Kevin Hart and Karen Gillan and Jack Black. I don't know. But that stuff that you can just easily, you know, let slide and everything. It's just weird that it happened. I hated that bridge scene. Hated it. Mainly because there's no problem solving there. They, at the beginning, the Jack Black character, and whoever it is at that point, I think
it's Fridge.
I think it is Fridge. Is it Fridge at that point?
Yeah, because they go to, I believe they go to the water
right after that.
Well, hold on a second. No, let me think about that for a second. Because I actually, yeah. Because Danny DeVito is still in The Rock at that point. Because I remember there's a whole thing at the end. Yeah, so right after that is where they're like, we got to do something different because, like, you keep getting us killed. You're supposed to be a thief, but you're neurotic. So, yeah, it was. So they're still all in the same.
So,
places.
Yeah, whatever. The Jack Black character, who is the map guy and knows geometry, has this whole like, oh, we jump here, we jump here, we jump here. And I was like, oh, cool. He's figured it out.
Yeah.
Just follow him and it'll be good. But that plan goes right out the window immediately. And then it looks like they're just randomly jumping to bridges. And then the monkeys show up.
Yeah.
It's just like Ad Astra.
Yeah. That's right. It's like two movies. We had no idea they would be so similar.
Yeah, exactly.
Jumanji is the Ad Astra of December.
It is. Very much so.
But yeah, you're right, because once he says that, he's like, and then he's like, geometry, you know, fuck y'all, or whatever he says, you know. He's like, maybe this guy is okay. Then the bridges just start randomly moving.
Yeah.
It was after, oh, the rock jumps on one, and then it just starts moving. So then his reasoning goes out the window, even though when they're still jumping from bridge to bridge, he keeps using that rationale. But at that point, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Because he's like, now we got to go to that one. Why?
Yeah, there's no reason. We as an audience don't know why, and that's why I don't like it. And then once the monkeys show up, there is just an ungodly amount of chaos on the screen.
Yeah.
Like, it is cutting left and right. There's all sorts of weird stuff going on in each shot. They only last for a second, even if that, going on and everything. And it's just like, I that's where I just sit down and go, okay, I'll just wait until this is over then.
And
I'm just done.
I think at that point, or we're pretty close, most of them only have one life at that point.
Right. Well, and yeah, some of them are losing lives during this and everything. Yeah.
That was another thing. You're right, because Karen Gillan dies in this part, and then comes back down. And like, how did I was sitting there thinking, like, how is she going to come back down on one of those bridges?
Yeah, and why doesn't the game let her come back down on the cliff that they were just on?
Which a normal game, that's probably what it would do. It would take you back to the start of
whatever
level is.
Wouldn't respawn you right above a bridge. That's just plain unfair.
Yeah, exactly.
And then of course the bridges are rickety, so, and they're like smashing planks that are on it and everything, but she lands on this thing from up in the sky and it just happens to say whatever. But
and then they kind of do that thing at the end where it's very I guess it's very Temple of Doom, where he cuts the rope so they swing away from the monkeys or whatever.
Yeah,
but then the monkeys get up on the cliff with them, so they haven't actually escaped anything at
The main story is to get this like orange gem thing, and like at the very beginning, you're introduced to these whatever they are, the Kilimanik brothers. What is it called?
Yeah, it is something like that. I don't remember the exact name.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Rory McCann plays Jürgen the Brutal, and he's the main bad guy. But the main thing that they have, these whatever brothers are set to meet up with Jürgen the Brutal and him at his castle. And I guess they figure out, this is a detail that I completely missed. I don't know if they figured this out on their own or not, but I guess they figured out that they needed to pose as these brothers to get into the castle.
Yeah, that was weird to me too, because I felt like they were just at Nick Jonas is just like, I'm just going to go walk with these guys and see if they even realize I'm not supposed to be there. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of what it felt like. And then so Jack Black and Kevin Hart go, and then they get asked the question if they're the brothers, and then they look confused.
Mm-hmm.
But then they finally are like, yeah, that's us.
Yeah, I feel like that was just like completely just on accident, and it just doesn't even seem part of a game that you would play. It seemed like in the first one they followed the rules of a game. Like all the characters that they interacted with. For instance, there's a scene where while they're playing the brothers, and they're going down that elevator.
Yeah.
And the guy behind him starts providing them details. And one is that one of the brothers is a eunuch. And so there's a whole joke about where is his balls now and all this other stuff. Yeah. And normally a character like that who's in the background is a non-player character. So
exactly.
So they don't respond to things that you say. But this person in the background is responding to everything.
Yeah, he's like repeating everything Jack Black says. He'll be like, yeah, that's right, or something like that.
Yeah.
Because Jack Black carries on this whole thing about and it makes no sense why Black even keeps doing this.
Yeah.
Like he's just trying to like piss off Kevin Hart, piss off Fridge.
Yeah.
But in that situation, why would you do that?
I don't even know why Fridge is so upset that there's an inference that his balls is gone.
Because he knows they're not.
Because he knows they're not. So I don't even know why. It's just one of those weird scenes where like, they're trying to tell, they're trying to be funny, haha, balls, and everything like that. But it just didn't register to me. It just didn't make a lot of sense.
Now that we're talking about that, I guess that might be the penis scene. Maybe they did have to do that.
Maybe they did. But there's stuff like that. And I felt like in the first one, those characters played like video game characters.
Yeah, and I agree.
You weren't able to reason with them. Like, I think the scene with Karen Gillan in the first one is she feels like she has to beat up these two guys that are like at a hut of some sort or in a shack, and she can't talk to them. They just keep saying the same thing over and over. And then finally she just has to like beat him up or something.
I can't
remember much about it, but it seemed like everybody played like a video game in that. And
then this one, they kind of, they go out. And they also, like I said, they have to contrive a lot of stuff in this because, like, I guess they just, it's almost like the writers are like, well, we need to have them be in different bodies because that'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
But because people liked them so much in the first one, the way they were, we need to get them back to those bodies. Because even in the scene where they decide to go back to the bodies, it doesn't necessarily make sense, like, who goes to what. Because now, okay, so early on, we see a scene with Karen Gillan and Jack Black
mm-hmm.
where they're at a pool of water and it's like glowing.
Mm-hmm.
And they both go into the water. And then when they shake hands or when they pull the other one out, they transfer bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess that's what happened in this water, but you don't see it. All you see is them go in the water, then they come back out of the water.
Yeah.
No one explained anything before they jumped in the water.
Right.
So only Karen Gillan and Jack Black really know what's going on. So none of that scene really made a lot of sense other than we've got to get these people back in their bodies, and this is just going to be the way it is.
Yeah,
and I think a lot of the movies like that.
Their reasoning isn't very good either. Spencer is inside of Awkwafina, and this sounds really dirty.
Hey, go Spence.
Yeah, exactly. Spencer's inside of Awkwafina, and like, there's a point where somebody says, we can't have a neurotic and the thief or whatever.
Yeah.
And you're an absolute neurotic and you're playing a thief and it doesn't make sense and everything. And I was like, well, okay, so it'll make sense to put Fridge in one of the athletic people, like The Rock or somebody like that, because you're not going to put the neurotic in The Rock.
Yeah.
And it's really just an excuse to get them all back to the same thing. But if they were really thinking about this, they would have put all the
mm-hmm.
– and really, honestly, there's not really any other place to put Bethany than Jack Black.
Yeah.
But, like, all the other characters could have had – you know, they could have figured out what's your strength.
I mean, Bethany could have been Awkwafina.
Yeah.
And then Danny DeVito could have been Jack Black. I mean, you could have done that.
You could have done that, yeah.
But I'm glad they did it the way they did. Like, that's what I'm saying. I mean, like, I think this movie works just based on just the actors. Like, the actors are having a good time. They do well together. They're fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But the overall movie itself, like the action scenes and the storyline, is definitely nowhere near as interesting as it was in the first one. And I'm not saying it was, like, great in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
But it did, like you're saying, it did seem to be put together a little better.
Yeah,
in the first one.
I just don't think Fred should be Kevin Hart again. I think Fred should be in somebody who's he gets super excited when he's in the Karen Gillan body because he's able to jump around and of course he's able to touch boobs.
Oh, that was weird too because like he definitely didn't do that
right
because we saw him the whole time.
Yeah,
because you know she's like, don't touch my boobs. He's like, oh, I did that the first thing. Like, no, you didn't.
Nope.
You 100% didn't, so why are we even making that joke?
Yeah, exactly.
I totally believe he would, because he's a 19-year-old kid or whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
But you didn't do that. But yeah, no, I know what you're saying. He's really excited. He's jumping around. Then he gets in Kevin Hart's body. He's excited he's in Kevin Hart's body, even though he was pissed about it the whole time in the other one.
Mm-hmm.
But now all of a sudden, he's like, I'm so happy I'm carrying your weapons.
Yeah, I don't get that. I felt like they could have done that body switching thing. They could have done that each level or something. They could have done some really fun things with that. And in the end, it was just like, it's kind of amusing. And they could have done a lot of things.
Yeah, and I guess to a point, I did think it was kind of interesting watching it that they played with gender a lot, and other than like they did have some moments where like he made the comment about touching the boobs, but it was really interesting like when they showed the Awkwafina character and you found out it was Spencer, there was no real weird moment. Like the grandfather was kind of like, wait, that's not Spencer, and then when he realized it was, he was just kind of like, okay,
mm-hmm.
and then they just start having conversations like it's completely normal. So I kind of like that the movie had enough sense to do it that way as opposed to like there's a lot of obvious jokes they could have made, or it could have just gotten uncomfortable, essentially.
Yeah.
And they didn't go that route. So I like that they were able to play around that. And I think the actors are having fun getting to play these different characters. But like you said, they still could have switched the bodies up in a different way, and it still would have been the same. I mean, you still would have had those good interactions. It just would have made more sense to the actual plot or the story.
Yeah, yeah. That was one thing. When they introduced that part, I really was like, oh, this could open up a lot of things for them.
But I did like, I mean, I like Danny DeVito. I liked Awkwafina doing her.
She's really good.
Awkwafina doing Danny DeVito. That sounds good. There's that part, they go back, they do a callback to the whole, like, which at this point, how would he not know what's going on? But I did like that bit where they were trying to explain to him what he needed to do to get the go down and get the jewel.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kept going like, you know, wait, so who's Ming? You know? Mm-hmm. And then after a couple of times, I can't remember if it's The Rock or Karen Gillan, but they're like, do not ask me who Ming is again. And you can tell he was about to, you know?
The reason why I like Kevin Hart so much in this is I think they gave the Danny Glover character a rich sort of like character and history and everything. So every time Kevin Hart starts talking, of course the big thing about him is he talks too slow. So like he's talking, he's the guy who's the zoologist in this whole thing, and he's always like, you know, when the ostriches come in, they're like, what is it we need to know about him? It's like, well, here's an interesting fact about ostriches. And like he goes through the first like couple of innocuous things, and then the third one is like, oh yeah, and if you attack them, you will be attacked back. So that's one of the things that they keep talking about. But every time he goes into a story, it seems like he knows somebody who's done something like this or whatever. And it's just always amusing and fun.
Yeah, because there's that one part where the whole part where they break down that they need to get in different bodies. He says something like, you know, what was his name? What was it Miles?
I think that's right.
Yeah. So he was like, you know, and Miles isn't helping us because he has all this information, but he talks too slow. And then he's like, let me tell you why that is. My nephew, Carl, you know, and you're just like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's just fun. His character is just so fun.
And
it felt like
Kevin Hart was kind of giving a performance more than just being Kevin Hart, which Kevin Hart being Kevin Hart is funny. I mean, he's been good in other things, but this felt different. Which I appreciated, even different from the last movie where he was basically just Kevin Hart.
Yeah, Danny Glover plays Milo.
Milo, that's right. I knew it was a mile something.
Yeah. There is an interesting thing at the end too, where you could see this coming from a mile away, where he's telling Danny DeVito, you know, the reason why he came to see him was because he's dying. And he wanted to get, you know, talk to him one last time and all that. And you can see it from a mile away. Once he gets in the game, he's going to stay in the game, and that's how he's going to continue living forever and everything. Danny DeVito ends up going back to the restaurant that they used to own, which is now called like Nora's or something
that.
I guess Nora is played by Bebe Neuwirth.
Yeah, who I haven't seen in forever. I
haven't seen her in forever, but I'm wondering if there's like some friendship that Danny DeVito and she have, because obviously DeVito's married to Rhea Perlman, who was on Cheers.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if that casting came about because of him, or if it was because, oh, this would be kind of neat. And like, it'd be kind of cool. It would have been kind of cool if it was Rhea Perlman.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, but.
Are they still married?
I think so.
I think you're right. Yeah. Interesting, like kind of side story, but like I said, I hadn't seen Bebe Neuwirth in forever, but I will admit I watched The Masked Singer. You know, shun me all you want.
Oh man, can't do any more podcasting. All right, I'm done. I'm done.
I'm not really a reality guy, but for some reason that show just entertains me because I watch it with my daughter, but I just like to find out who the people are under the mask. But somebody, Bebe Neuwirth, to the best of my knowledge, is not on it, but somebody guessed her. Mm-hmm. So I just randomly, like, hadn't seen B.B. Newworth, hadn't thought about B.B. Newworth in forever. And just randomly, like, Wednesday night, I saw, like a photo of her on that show because somebody guessed she was one of the Masked Singers. And she looked exactly like she looks in this movie. So it was, like, a very current, it was a very current photo. So then when she walks in, I was just, like, it was, like, the craziest case of, like, deja vu. Because mm-hmm. I was, like, wait, I've seen her recently, and she looked just like that.
Yeah.
Just funny how stuff like that happens. Like, yeah. It was within, like, a 2-day, like, not even, no. It was like within 24 hours.
Yeah, it's crazy how that happens. I mean, I've had that happen before too, where it's like I haven't heard of this person in a long time. Then suddenly there's like news about that person.
And she's so good in that scene too. I mean, she's in like 2 minutes of that movie, but it's like, oh, I like B.B. Newworth. I wish she was in more stuff.
And
because,
I had forgotten that she was in that original Jumanji too.
Oh yeah.
In fact. She plays the same character.
Oh, so that's the
they
tie
connected
about, yeah,
it.
Yeah, nice.
Holy fuck! I didn't even realize.
I didn't
that.
Think about that either. I mean, I know they're supposed to be in the same universe. I assumed.
You know, it's funny. But, people listening to this podcast are going to be like, "Oh yeah, baby." Like they're going to bring this up, and then it's like, "Are they ever going to bring it up? Yeah. Are they ever going to bring it up?"
There have been many back in the day before I was with you guys full time, I'd be listening to this Incast at work. And I would text Barrett and be like, by the way, that's not right or something. And then he'd text me back like, hold on a second. Mm-hmm. And then like, of course, like 3 minutes later, you guys would say something correctly.
One thing that happens during these podcasts a lot is that I'll say something or somebody else will say something. And I'm like, I'm not sure if that's true or not. And so it'll take about 3 minutes to get to get all the information. I'm sitting here like while you're talking, looking up B.B. Newworth, who on the IMDb, IMDb doesn't even know she's in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, not yet anyway. Like nobody's entered her in. And so I click on it. I was like, okay, well, I'll just look up the actress and then let's see if Jumanji the Next Level shows up on her filmography. By the time you guys are listening to this, it'll probably be up there, but it's not right now. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, that's right. She was in the original Jumanji. She played Nora something. Oh.
That's actually kind of a nice little Easter egg to put in there because they don't really bring a lot of attention to it.
Yeah.
I didn't even know they were like in the same like city or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe they're not. I don't
know. Well, and that's the one thing about the credit scene that I saw. Now I didn't watch all the way to the end of the credits to see if there was anything else after that, but I saw that first one that shows up at least it may be the only one. Hopefully it's the only one. But it does look like their plans for a sequel is to get it to where it does or the original Jumanji type stuff where the stuff comes out into the real world again.
Yeah, because it looks like the
ostriches and stuff. Are
running around. It was the main guy's mom was the one that was down there with the guy fixing the furnace.
Right. And the guy's like, oh, I'm a big, huge video game buff. So therefore, I'll go over and just start playing the game.
I'll just start touching your shit. It's like, why don't you go fix the furnace?
Yeah, exactly. I'm just sitting there like, man, you must be a really big video game buff to just go over and just start playing somebody's old machine for no reason.
Like, let's just be unprofessional as hell. Exactly. Like, I don't care. I have to see what this video game machine is.
Yeah.
And I even tweeted last night, like, these are not great movies, but these are fun movies though. And mm-hmm. I would totally go see another one. And I do think these are better than the original. We send the original, I guess, before the last one came out.
Yeah.
And so I rewatched it around that time, even though I don't think I worked on that one. But I rewatched it. I was like, ooh, this does not hold up.
No.
And I don't know if I really particularly liked it when it first came out. I mean, we were older. We were like 19 when it came out. Or I was 19 when it came out. But so it's not like it was a huge movie for me.
Yeah.
But I thought I remembered it being kind of fun, but then when we did it, though, it was just like, oh, this is not good at all.
Yeah, yeah.
And like even like Robin Williams isn't very good at it. You're just like, oh, this is bad.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think that's probably also why Welcome to the Jungle was so amazing. Just because you're like, you went through this source material, which it's based on a book.
Yeah, it's based on the Chris Van Allsburg, who I brought up in a previous Sincast a couple weeks ago when we were doing Tom Hanks and Polar Express is another one that he was the Caldecott Award for illustrations
I should know he did Polar Express.
Yeah, he did Polar Express and Jumanji, and both of them. I don't know if both won Caldecott or if one was a runner-up or whatever, but those pictures are stunning.
And then Zathura is also kind of, is that like a kind of a like a book sequel to Jumanji?
Yeah, I've heard that Zathura is basically a Jumanji sequel, sci-fi sequel or something. I don't know. I've never looked into it actually.
It's really interesting too, because obviously like Jumanji, the 95 one, I mean, it was a decent hit. And they were actually trying to get another one made like around 2000. I don't think Robin Williams was actually going to be involved, though. It was something weird. It was like going to be like the vice president of the United States, or the president of the United States, like get sucked into the game. It was like this really bizarre thing. And obviously they weren't able to do it. It's really interesting to think back to that, because like if the 95 Jumanji came out today and did what it did, we'd probably already have like six of them.
Mm-hmm.
But like in the 90s, that just wasn't, even in the 90s, like the late 90s, they still weren't doing, that still wasn't like a franchise driven kind of era. Like you've got to get to like Harry Potter and stuff like that before it really starts like, you know, studios really purposefully trying to create these franchises. It felt like, at least.
Yeah, it did feel like a lot of times they would sort of read the tea leaves on some of these big hits and say, did people really go out and see this because they liked it, or did they go out and see it and it made its money, and now do we make a sequel to it because it made so much money, or should we just hold off because it doesn't look like people really were that into it? I'm sure there were a few sequels though that got through, that slipped through the cracks, but you're right. A movie like that today would be an instant sequel.
Yeah. Well, and then too, they were still trying to spend less on sequels, which now that's not the case at all. Like they're spending way more on they're signing cast members to like multiple contracts and stuff like that from the get go, just to make it a little more cost effective. But like you think about something like Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, like that was a huge hit.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, if that was like, you know, 20 years later, you would have had another Indiana Jones movie 2 years later.
Yeah, of course you have you're right. I mean, there should have been. And I guess Spielberg, since Indiana Jones has always relied on Spielberg, Lucas, and Ford all having the same schedule and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I feel like Spielberg right after that was like, okay, it's time to win my Oscar. It's time to do this. And, like, you know, and all those elements became harder for all of them to get together. That's why it took Crystal Skull so long to get made, because they made, well, Darabont wrote the script for that thing in the 90s or something like that. So it was ready. I mean, they were ready to do one.
And it was always Crystal Skulls too, right? I believe it was.
I have no idea if it was always that.
Some variation on it, probably.
But I know that it went through all sorts of various super rewrites and everything. And then they were like, okay, we finally got Spielberg, Lucas, and Ford all together again. And they finally did another one. But you're right. I think we would have had three or four of these things back in the day if it had come out today.
And I don't know if that's a bad or good thing. I'm just, you know, but it's just interesting to
think. Well, the Jumanji that we saw, if it had come out, we would have seen three more of those
and
type of
probably
Jumanjis.
Wouldn't have been very good.
Yeah. Meanwhile, they did a completely different thing with this one.
But this seems to be very rare that stuff like this happens, because we joke all the time about, like, especially these comedy sequels that are like 15 years later and they're just awful, like Zoolander and Anchorman and all that crap, you know. And this, you would have just assumed that this was going to fall in the same boat, but now they've actually made two that are not bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, maybe that's not, we're not singing its praises. I mean, these are never going to be like A's, but it's still a fun time.
By the way, yes, Zathura is a direct sequel to Jumanji that Chris Van Allsburg wrote, and then John Favreau made the movie.
And a pretty good movie.
I haven't seen it in forever. Yeah, it was that 2005 year, so I probably was down on it. But
I mean, it's kind of like this. Like, it's not going to blow your socks off, but it's a perfectly fine movie. It probably, like, if, as far as the Favreau, you know, filmography goes, it would definitely fall somewhere on the upper echelon.
Probably. Yeah. Maybe you were somewhere in the middle, maybe.
Yeah, middle,
I don't know.
Middle, probably
I don't
middle.
Know.
Yeah, yeah. A little better than Jungle Book.
He would be good. He would be good to kind of like look back at sometime because he's got such a weird eclectic.
I still forget he did Lion King. You know, like this year's Lion King. Like I just totally forget until I see his name pop up.
He's become that go-to big name, like big franchise director guy, which is so weird.
Yeah.
Because we all got introduced to Favreau. Most of us got introduced to Favreau through Swingers.
For sure.
And it's just weird to see that type of thing. So, yeah, he's like a big Hollywood producer.
Yeah, because his first Maid, was that his directorial debut?
I think that
debut?
Was his directorial, yeah. Maid was.
Because Swingers was Lehman or Lyman.
Lyman, yeah.
Yeah, Doug Lyman.
And, yeah, Maid was his first. And then got. So, anyway, Jumanji.
In fact, this would be fitting if he directed this. But yeah. It's Jake Kasdan came back to do this. That's interesting for him too.
Because he
did a lot of smaller stuff. Like he did what was the one with Jack Black and Colin Hanks that?
Orange County.
Yeah, that might have even been his first movie.
No, he did Zero Effect.
Oh my God, he did Zero Effect. Yeah. That's right. That's terrible.
I've frequently mentioned Zero Effect on this podcast, and I've also said out loud, I don't know if you can even call that a cult hit because where's the cult?
Yeah.
The cult is in this room.
Exactly. Yeah. When I said terrible, I meant terrible that I forgot.
No. Yeah.
It's a great movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I even wrote, I don't know if it's going to make it, but a script we're currently working on. I made a Bill Pullman Zero Effect reference.
Nice.
But yeah, Jumanji. So let's get back to Jumanji after 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I think this is, like I said, there's some story issues, but I think if you're talking about a movie delivering exactly what you just assume it's going to deliver, this gets pretty close.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't expecting this to be like a classic.
Mm-hmm.
I was expecting this to be maybe slightly less than the last one, maybe right around the same. And I think that's basically what we got.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's definitely less.
Well, yeah. I think I was solid. I think without Kevin Hart, this is a C+.
Yeah.
Movie. Like, I'm like, you just throw your hands up in the air and go, eh. And then Kevin Hart comes in and does his Danny Glover stuff, and that just elevates it slightly.
And I mean, if we're talking about recent stuff that we've watched where we've kind of been in this range, I enjoyed this more than like Zombieland, like Double Tap. You know, that's kind of where this ranking's going, like the grading's going. So it's pretty middle of the road, but it has more highs than lows, I would say, as far as the comedy goes.
Yeah.
And this cast is clearly having a lot of fun together. And for me, that's always going to get a lot of the grade just because, I mean, that's always fun to watch, you know, just a cast just gelling so well. It was kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 was something that kept popping into my head because that's not a movie I particularly enjoy the story, but I enjoy watching the characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I kind of got the same vibe with this one.
Karen Gillan's part of both of those, man.
That's true. I didn't even think about that until now. Yeah, she's Nebula.
Mm-hmm.
I guess she's like an A-list actress now. I don't really know.
I wouldn't call her A-list.
It's so different now. Like,
yeah, I wouldn't call her A-list. I think of A-list as someone that if you put their name on the poster, they sell the movie, and Karen Gillan wouldn't do that.
But she definitely finds her way into big movies.
Yeah, she does.
I'm happy about that.
And I'm definitely not saying anything bad about Karen Gillan. I like her and everything that I've seen her in, and she's in The Big Short for a brief moment in that movie.
She's in that mirror movie.
Yeah, yeah, the Oculus. The
Oculus.
Yeah.
That was the first time I ever saw, because I'm not a Doctor Who person.
Yeah, yeah. Doctor Who, yeah, obviously Doctor Who is the one where like a lot of people first saw her.
I was trying to think though what the age difference. There is a scene, she was 87, so she's 32. How old is The Rock?
Oh yeah, he's let me see if I can guess this.
Okay.
I think he was born in maybe 71?
72.
Okay.
So there's a 15-year difference. There is a kiss in this movie that it was kind of gross. I don't know.
16-year difference.
It's really not. I don't know why it was kind of gross. I don't know what it was about it, but it was just like, for some reason, I usually don't do this. Maybe it's having a daughter
now. If it had been
now.
Bethany, yes. That would have grossed me out
a
little bit.
And there is the stuff with Bethany and Colin Hanks because...
Oh, true. Yeah.
Although nothing ever happens, but there's clearly there's a Colin Hanks going, I wish I was younger.
Yeah. For sure.
No, it's fine. I mean, it's perfectly not as obscene as a lot of these age. Like, it's definitely not as crazy as Jason Statham and what's her name being brother and sister growing up together.
Vanessa Kirby.
it's not as egregious as that.
Yeah.
But it was just when it happened, that was just the first thing. Maybe, like I said, maybe this is just having a daughter. The first thing that popped in my head was like, wait, how much older is he than her?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
But no, it's fine.
Okay. Well, yeah, that, I mean, like the movie itself, we were all over the place on that one.
Exactly.
But that's totally fine. That's what you come here for. What did you think about this movie? Go to Sincast presented by CinemaSins on Facebook or CinemaSins Twitter or Music Video Sins Twitter, SoundCloud, Reddit. On Reddit, there is a link to a Discord. If you want to go to the Discord,
mm-hmm.
You can also go to Facebook and private message me and I will give you a link to the Discord. Jonathan.
You can reach me on Twitter at SamLoomis13. You can also hear me every week on Behind the Sins with Aaron Dicer and Danae Hughes. I forgot their names for a second there. That was weird.
Mm-hmm.
It happens.
If you'd asked me point blank what their names were, I would have forgotten too.
Isn't that always the case, though? It's like you know everything about somebody.
Who am I thinking about? Oh, yeah, geez.
Why did you ask me? Like, my wife does that all the time and asks her, who sings this? And she's like, you know, if you hadn't actually asked me that question, I would have known. But it's like, how does that make sense? Like, well, you clearly weren't thinking about it or, you know, but anyways. Yeah.
That'll do it for this mini pod of Jumanji The Next Level. It's Chris Atkins and Jonathan Watkins. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Comment on our episodes on our SoundCloud page. Check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit. And be sure to visit CinemaSins.com.
A thing in Murfreesboro around that area where on weeknights during the school year, I guess that's just because in the summer they change it, but during the school year it seems like they don't have anything past like 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Which I've never seen that before. Theaters usually almost always do 9 or 10 o'clock, but I guess they just figured nobody goes to them on like Tuesdays.
It's possible. Yeah.
So they never have like a later showing on Thursday night. So, like, if they don't do one of these 4 o'clocks, I can't go, you know, I usually can't go see two. Did you see that The Last Jedi crap with Daisy Ridley and John Boyega?
I saw snippets of some article that J.J. Abrams said something about, and that Daisy Ridley said it was like fun again to do this movie, and I guess she didn't have a good experience on Last Jedi. I don't know. Yeah. I didn't read completely into it.
See, because the article I saw, this was hilarious to me. The article I saw, the guy who, I don't remember who wrote it, but they took snippets from interviews that were done before Last Jedi came out.
Oh, before it came out.
Because they announced, there might have been some stuff since then, but this was the part I read, because they obviously did press before Last Jedi, and it was announced that Abrams was coming back around that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so Boyega and Ridley said, oh, cool, we love J.J. We worked with him on Force Awakens. Really glad he's back.
Yeah.
And it appeared to me that the way the writer took those snippets, which, like I said, the movie hadn't even come out yet.
Mm-hmm.
No one has an opinion about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And made it kind of inferred that was them saying, okay, Rian Johnson sucks, mm-hmm, and they hated The Last Jedi. I'm sure they've said some stuff since then. I know Boyega said something yesterday about how this is just getting ridiculous and out of hand.
Yeah.
And, like, just go watch the movie.
Yeah. And I mean, the only thing that I had really seen was that Abrams said that, you know, The Last Jedi took this turn. And he didn't say anything bad about it.
No, but, not at all.
But they were just, everybody wanted to launch into it because Last Jedi is one of the most divisive movies that has ever come out.
And that was definitely a current interview, but that one, he even complimented, it's Rian, right?
Yeah.
He complimented Rian on, He said there's a lot of things Ryan did that I wouldn't be able to do in this movie if Ryan hadn't set the
right
stage. You know, it's like nice stuff, and people, people are crazy.
Yeah, I mean, there's no point in getting this bent out of shape on a movie ever.
And it's both ends, too, because you even have people like adamantly defending Rian Johnson where there's no need to, like, because mm-hmm. JJ didn't say anything.
Yeah. And obviously Rian Johnson will be okay. I mean, Knives Out. Knives Out is a huge hit.
He might have a new franchise.
Yeah, so.
I didn't know he was such a mystery buff, although he did Brick, which Brick mm-hmm. is kind of a, I mean, it's like a neo-noir kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even remember if I liked that movie, I got to be honest. I've seen it once.
I saw it a long time
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, me too. I think I might have seen it Belcourt or something. But he was on a recent podcast called Pure Cinema Podcast, and they were just talking about their favorite mysteries, and that's a big genre for me.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just I like that he's bringing these movies to light. You know, like he might. They were even kind of joking with him. Like, there's this great movie from the 70s called Last of Sheila. Have mm-hmm. you ever heard of this?
Mm-hmm.
It was written by Stephen Sondheim. I never can pronounce that guy's name right.
Is that the music guy,
yeah,
Stephen Sondheim?
Yeah, apparently he was a huge mystery buff.
Mm-hmm.
So he wrote it, and Anthony Perkins. These are the two that
really?
Wrote, yeah. And Anthony Perkins, I don't believe, is in the movie. It's like it's got a great – it's like Richard Benjamin, James Coburn's in it, Diane – wait, what is her?
Bossy?
No. The one from she's in Death Trap. She was in Eight Heads in a Duffel Bag for some reason. That's what just popped
Diane
in
Diane Cannon?
Yes, Diane Cannon.
I
thank
said
you.
Fosse. That's a Diane Fosse, and I think that's like the chick who studied gorillas that Sigourney
that might be right.
Sigourney Weaver
that might
played
be right.
in Gorillas in the Mist.